Chapter 9, Christian Perfection, in A Primer of Beliefs for Methodist Laymen by Kenneth W. Copeland. The doctrine of Christian perfection is one of the most cherished beliefs of the Methodist Church. It arises out of the command of Christ, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Because the possibility of Christian perfection staggers the imagination, and because we are so well aware of our human limitations and human imperfections, many give up in despair at this point and rationalize that no one can be perfect. Yet the command is there, "Be ye therefore perfect." And try as hard as we might to make these words mean something else, we know Jesus was saying this to real people in real situations, here and now. When a candidate for the Methodist ministry is to be ordained, he is asked the question, "Do you expect to be made perfect in this life?" And the church expects him to answer yes. There are those who suggest that the implication in the command of Jesus is more future than present, and that it is a promise as well as a command. Others see in these words of our Lord a standard toward which we should strive, more than an achievement which we accomplish. Still, the Christian is told by his Lord that he should be perfect, and the Methodist Church has long since taken the position that Christian perfection is a possibility for this life. Perhaps the difficulty arises out of a failure to really understand what is meant by perfection. It certainly doesn't mean the absence of all human limitations, nor the perfection of the patterns of human expression, for these would preclude the possibility of growth. Perfection, Christian perfection, goes much deeper than this. In the first place, Christian perfection is a matter of the heart. Perhaps it would help us a great deal to understand the meaning of this coveted Christian goal if we would remember that man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. We will never find perfection as long as we look for it in outward appearances. One person is not capable of perfectly judging another person on the basis of outward appearance. We cannot fully know what is in his heart, and thus we cannot completely evaluate his character by his outward appearance. Appearances change and grow and diminish. Outward appearances are human and limited. Although Christian perfection will certainly condition outward behavior, and outward behavior will bear the fruits of Christian perfection, it seems reasonable to look in the heart for the roots of Christian perfection, roots that are fed and sustained by the Holy Spirit. God looks on the heart. When Jesus admonished us to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect, he was speaking of the area of the human heart. Jesus pronounced a blessing on the pure in heart and said, "They shall see God." David raised the questions, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" And then he answered, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." Most assuredly, Christian perfection deals with the heart. While the motives of the heart must be expressed through the outward forms and symbols of the flesh, the outward expression is limited by these forms and symbols. God still looks on the heart. And what we may know of Christian perfection must be an experience of the heart. Moreover, Christian perfection is Christ in you. It will help us to understand the meaning of Christian perfection if we will think of it not as my efforts, my life, or my achievements. Christian perfection is letting Christ live in us fully and completely. This must have been in the mind of Paul when he spoke of the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So you see, not my efforts, but his. The life of perfection is the life in which Christ has unlimited freedom. Christian perfection is Christ living perfectly in the life of a perfectly dedicated disciple. I can't, but he can through me. A man was thrown out of his small boat on a stormy lake and forced to swim to shore. He became exhausted long before he could reach the shore and was about ready to give up when his feet touched a rock. He managed to stand on this rock, which was submerged 2 or 3 feet below the surface of the water, until help came. Someone asked him later, "Did you tremble?" He replied humbly, "Yes, I did, but the rock didn't." This is precisely the experience of a dedicated Christian who must confess again and again that he trembles and shakes and stumbles, but Christ does not. We believe in Christian perfection because we believe that Christ can live perfectly in the life of a perfectly dedicated disciple. Christian perfection is also Christian perfection in growth. The New Testament is clear in its challenge to Christian growth. Jesus himself set the pattern during his own childhood as he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. His followers are called upon to grow likewise. The author of the first epistle of Peter admonishes us, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." Furthermore, the author of 2 Peter admonishes us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Note here that this is not the growth of grace, for grace is of God and God is already complete. But it is growth in grace. We are admonished as Christians to grow in God's perfect grace. The Christian must continue to grow as a Christian to the fullest possible extent if he is to realize perfection in growth. We may speak of a tiny baby and say he is a perfect baby, yet we would not say the same thing about this child 10 years later if the growth were arrested and he still had the body and mind of a baby. Christian growth must be growth in the right direction, based on the proper standards, and according to the will and plan of God. So must Christian growth be Christian, if it is to be perfect. Long ago we learned an old adage which said, "Practice makes perfect." But sober reflection on this statement would reveal its inadequacy. Practice itself cannot make perfect, for one might be practicing in the wrong way. A student of music must practice the right scales, the right notes, and in the right way to become perfect musically. It might be more nearly correct to say, perfect practice makes perfect. In the spiritual realm, we might therefore conclude, Christian growth makes perfection in growth. But Christian perfection also means perfection in love. Jesus summed up the law in 2 commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the best definition for perfection in love. Truly, if one loves God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and, as Mark adds, with all his strength, and loves his neighbor as himself, this is perfection in love. One's knowledge may be limited, and most certainly is, and he may learn how to love more and better as he grows. But if he loves God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and his neighbor as himself each day, he has each day fulfilled perfection in love. His efforts may be crude, his outward expression may be much less than perfect, but his love can be perfect. A tired father at the close of a busy day asks his 3-year-old daughter to bring him a glass of water. She loves her daddy with all the heart of a 3-year-old. Her desire is to please him. So she rushes to the kitchen, secures a glass of water, and is totally unaware of the fact that her little finger is inside the glass and in the water. The father sees in the water little bits of dust and dirt washed from his child's finger. Her expression is far from perfect, and the water is far from perfect, but he drinks it, for it represents all the love that a three-year-old can possibly show. In this, she is perfect in love. Our Heavenly Father knows how imperfect are the expressions of our love. He knows, far better than we could know, how many times we stumble and fall short of perfection in expression. But he knows also if our love is perfect, and this is what counts most. We believe in Christian perfection in love. This, of course, is what we are praying for in one of the prayers of our service of Holy Communion, when we ask of God, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee, and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that this condition of the heart may be fulfilled here and now. And finally, Christian perfection is perfection in unity with Christ. In his high priestly prayer in the upper room a few hours before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed for the unity of his followers. He summed up his petition for unity when he prayed, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. This is what Paul meant when he determined not to know anything among his people but Christ crucified. How majestic are his words to the Corinthians, for all things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. This perfect unity with Christ is conditioned on perfect consecration, by which the Christian knows himself to be crucified with Christ, thoroughly dedicated, without reservation, living to the best of his knowledge, and by the grace of God in perfect surrender to the leadership of Christ. Perfect unity with Christ is conditioned also on perfect obedience to the will and the love of Christ. Jesus made it quite clear that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. Perfect love results in perfect obedience, and imperfect obedience might well indicate imperfect love. If we give up all for Christ, if we commit all we are, all we have, and all we hope to be to him and his will for us in our world, he will give us the strength that we need as we strive toward perfection. Christian perfection is more in us than of us. It is Christ living perfectly within us. He is perfect. Let us give him perfect freedom in our hearts and lives. They who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit need feel no condemnation. Christian perfection is not so much a perfect Christian as it is Christ living fully and perfectly in the heart of a Christian. The Holy Spirit having perfect liberty in the life of a Christian completely dedicated to him. The Methodist Church believes a Christian can be pure in heart, totally dedicated to Christ, perfect in love, thoroughly obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in this life. The Church believes it is possible for a disciple to be so dedicated that he might testify with St. Paul, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Few would dare to say that they have achieved this perfection. But surely, none of us would deny that this is what the Holy Spirit wants to achieve in us. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.